You know you belong together, little big pod forever. You're talking on air. Nathan has weird hair. From the very first moment I heard you, I never felt such emotion. From talking on air, I said no, you are there. So hold me in your arms and let me go. I wanna stay forever, closer each day. Graham and Nate.
Okay, there is a plaster on our nipples that we just have to peel off rather quickly. Oh, guys, you can probably hear it in my voice. We were confident. Not really.
We weren't confident at all, to be honest. Well, actually, we're talking about the Radio Awards on Friday night and Little Big Podcast. You know, we have a small but bloody loyal following. Oh, my God. A few people were messaging me because I was putting up this podcast. Tonight is the night. A few people saying, surely the Little Big Podcast.
Crucial
listener.
Word is few, but yes.
Yeah, few, very few. Maybe one or two.
Yeah.
Said, surely we deserve a link as part of the Little Big Podcast.
I was one
community.
Of the two people to yeah. say to you. I was replying to your stories.
People were excited.
I was excited.
Who would have thought that this podcast would be recognised by people in the radio industry?
It was a very niche category. Many cynical people will say, oh, it was a filler. You know, this podcast, clearly they had to make the number.
New category.
New category. Remind the listener the category one more time.
Podcast of the year.
Podcast of the year. You don't need to have a sponsorship. You don't need to have more than 14 listeners.
No.
It's perfect.
You just have to have a podcast.
Crucial for us, the episode, we said it before, the episode we chose didn't even feature us. It was guest, friend,
mostly
lover.
Sean.
Sean Reedy was speaking about his experiences of moving up from County Clare.
Well, actually, obviously, you know we didn't win.
Yeah.
We didn't win. Didn't nobody told me from 98FM, Serena and Lauren, they came third.
Fair play to them.
Yeah, yeah. In second was... I'm pretty sure the one about the murders.
Oh, yeah.
And BBC Ulster.
I would have thought that would have won.
The Nobody Zone on Radio 1, though. That was excellent. I actually listened to the Nobody Zone, parts of it, when it first came out, because it was a time during lockdown where every day, whatever you'd watch on RTE, they would push the Nobody Zone. And do you know what?
Stop
it was
listening.
Fantastic.
Stop listening.
It was
listening.
Fantastic.
Don't
it,
listen.
To this?
Yep. Move on to the Nobody Zone.
It was so good. Yeah. This is what we do in this podcast. We talk about other people's podcasts and we say how good they are and you should listen to them instead of us. But it's a very good podcast and well worth it. Do you know what? If I was a producer of the Nobody Zone and I lost to us, I'd be like, motherfuckers.
You'd be annoyed.
It's so good. Do you want to actually listen? Who cares? Let's listen to it.
Oh,
the opening soundscape. It's so good.
The Nobody Zone.
I know Nathan really doesn't want to do this.
Don't really want to, but
it's so good. It's about an Irish serial killer. And it's got the opening score. I think it's the opening or the closing score. I can't remember if the opening or closing it is. Is it not just here? It is, yes. Is Christy Moore.
Oh.
And I love this song. Listen to how good this is compared to our podcast.
Before we begin, imagine this scene.
Here, look at this. This is good.
Where's the jazz music?
London. It's 1953, though.
Jesus.
It's the day of Queen Elizabeth II.
Can you kill the jazz music, please?
Where's the jazz music?
You need to kill ours.
No, I can hear the jazz music. It's coming through. It's
kill
actually
ours.
Complimenting this introduction.
So you can hear it.
It's coronation, actually. But you are down in the underground at Baker Street Station. It's late. Just about time for the last train. There's hardly anyone around. At the far end of the platform...
Question.
Two men.
Is there going to be any copyright problems?
Nah.
The beauty of being a small podcast, people can't find you.
It's beautiful. It's like, you're down there. It's about an Irish man who moves over to London and apparently kills someone.
Sorry, is this the introduction? Is this a theme song?
No, this is just the opening of the podcast series.
They seem to be arguing about something.
I'm just going to skip forward.
You're listening to The Nobody Zone.
Oh, it's a good
podcast
voice.
Series in six parts. Brought to you by RTE's documentary on One in Ireland.
Yeah.
And Third Ear Productions in Denmark.
Oh, my God.
My name's Tim Hinman.
Tim Hinman, the tennis player!
That scene we just heard.
Go on, Tim.
What,
Tim?
That was a murder. And the man doing the pushing, he confessed to that murder. He confessed repeatedly.
Jazz music in the background. They stole the jazz music from us.
Under questioning in London.
I want to get to the end because I love
the better
ending.
Better jazz music than ours.
Tim O'Brien, with production assistance from Sarah E. Specialing.
Where is the music? Ah, here we go. This is lovely.
It's a real team.
Bizarre reasons. To find out what they are, you'll have to listen to the next episode.
Don't tell me what to
of
do.
The Nobody Zone.
Here we go.
Jesus, that's intense, Christy.
If you're crossing the ocean, you better think twice. Cause you can't live without.
Yeah, well, we have Dara Quilty singing on our podcast.
Listen, here we go.
Nobody Zone.
Ah, that's where the name comes from. It seemed very long to me, that introduction.
That's what a lot of people say about Dara Quilty singing as well.
That is true. We're probably pushing 45 seconds with it.
Oh, listen, that's good.
Oh, what is that called? What effect?
Reverb.
Reverb. Does anyone have a pen? I need to write that down. Reverb. How do you even spell that?
So they won. Congratulations to the Nobody Zone. A worthy winner.
Do you hear that? Graham's applauding. Not
worthy
me.
Worthy winner.
As I'm competitive.
Like, isn't it funny that that was in the same category as us?
Did it lack heart? That's what I want to know.
It definitely didn't.
You know, maybe it was all frills, but it didn't taste very good. You know those meals you have where it looks beautiful? Put it in the gob. Doesn't have much.
Okay, let's talk about Friday night.
Friday night. Okay, let me paint a picture for you. Normally, the Radio Awards, like the Grammys, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
You dress up to the nines. You talk to people you don't really want to talk to. But you're there in Kilkenny. What's the hotel called again?
The Lyreth.
The Lyreth Hotel.
And there's this big shaggy dog that's always outside the
two
front.
Shaggy dogs.
And everyone's like, oh, the little dog. Now, as my radio career has gone on, I've actually broached the fact that I'm afraid of dogs.
Mm.
But I think it's a big credit to my getting over my fear that every time I go to the Radio Awards in Kilkenny, I get closer and closer
to
the dogs.
Well, they're golden retrievers. They're probably the friendliest dog around.
They were so scary the first time I saw them.
Ever been a story where a golden retriever has attacked someone?
Scary, like rawr.
Lyreth Hotel is a very sexy hotel. I like the driveway.
Mm.
You arrive on the grounds, but it's a long way, a windy road, and there's trees and everything. It's like you're about to enter the Playboy Mansion.
Yeah, exactly.
You arrive.
Except there's just a lot of bald men from the radio industry.
In dressing gown. They are naked and they are trying to invite you up to your room, but you're like, my
room? I have a radio award up here. You didn't win the podcast? Well, I got something else for you.
But this year was different as we are living in a pandemic, so the awards were virtual this year.
Yeah.
So I invited you, Graham.
Came over. Now, I...
You met the new roommate.
It was an uneasy evening for me because I was offered a virtual DJ gig just beforehand, which meant I couldn't go over and go a good while before and then get set up, get relaxed, have a few beers. I was doing the DJing in town. The award started at 7:30. I was finished at 6:30 in town, which meant I was getting back to yours just after 7:00, which meant it wasn't going to be relaxing.
Intense.
Now, the company gladly gave us some Just Eat vouchers, which was fantastic.
I'll give them a shout out. Fair play company.
Communicore. Thanks very much.
Sorry, I called them company.
So, but I had horrendous stomach pains. Now, I don't know if it was from DJing or because I get very anxious before I DJ. Or was it because I was nervous because of the awards? Because we were up for 6.
Jeez, I wasn't nervous about the awards at all.
Really?
Which is frightening.
I don't think you should be nervous. And I wasn't. I don't think it was nervous. I was more maybe there's a little bit of apprehension because I'm a very competitive person. And because we were up for 6, I was like, oh, I kind of want to win. And because we were defending the breakfast, I was like, oh, and I am competitive. That's just the way I am.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to win. And so I was like, oh. Maybe I was kind of thinking, if I don't win any, I'm going to be a bit disappointed here.
Yeah.
So, horrendous pain in my stomach. I mean, piercing pain. And then while I was getting out of the DJ and I was walking towards my car, I was on Just Eat and I had to order something. But I was so confused as to what I wanted to order because I wasn't hungry. I wasn't hungry because of such bad pains in my stomach. And I was like, what do I want? I don't want a chipper because that's going to be so greasy.
It's dirty.
I don't want Thai or Indian because it'd be too spicy for my stomach. It'll make it worse. And I was really overthinking what I was getting.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
like it.
Really overthinking. And then I also didn't want to get something small because I hadn't drank in ages. In terms of, yes, I've had pints, but in terms of actually going to house, and I knew I was going to drink
were going to have beers, okay? This was going to be a wild one. We weren't going to town, but we were painting my living room red.
Oh, yeah. So I was really overthinking it. And that wasn't helping to the anxiety.
That doesn't
the pace
help.
Of my stomach.
No.
So what I ordered was from KFC.
Oh.
And I'm getting into the Super Value. He's giving away Super Value vouchers. Super Max, okay? I'm getting into Super Max. I love the chicken breast sandwich and I really wanted a Super Max, but there's no Super Max beside you. So I said, do you know what? KFC. And before I left the house, I went to Coxie. I go, Coxie, I'm going to get KFC for tonight. And he goes, ugh, that's rotten. I go, what do you mean?
Coxie.
And he goes, I've had KFC loads of times and it's dirt. And then I was like doubting myself. And then Justin walked in. I go, Just, have you ever had KFC? He goes, yeah, it's shit. And then I go, oh,
well,
my God.
Well, this episode is brought to you by KFC.
The Colonel. But I like KFC. And I messaged you and Sean saying, boys, I'm getting KFC. And you were like, yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah.
But then no one was giving me the, oh, wow, geez, yeah, I haven't had KFC in ages. That's a great idea. So then that made me doubt the KFC.
God, man.
There was a lot going on in my head.
This is exhausting.
I'm exhausted thinking about it.
Jesus, just eat the chicken.
Imagine living this moment. So I ended up getting boneless chicken tenders and chips. I needed something plain. I needed something easy that wasn't going to hurt my stomach and not too big. When it arrived, it was perfect. Exactly what I wanted. I also got some popcorn chicken as well, which was beautiful. But I came in riddled with a stomach pain, and I came in strong into your house.
God, there was a lot of energy.
Yeah, yeah.
I was sat at the table.
I was
table.
Trying to displace the pain.
Oh my God.
And the anxiety.
It was very intense.
If I come in strong, it will mask everything that's going on in my stomach right now.
You were on a lot of narcotics when you arrived. It was actually kind of scary. To kind of paint a picture of where I was at, I had a lovely Friday.
Yeah.
I had a really well-rested nap at around 2 o'clock.
I tried to nap.
Yeah.
But the neighbours are building a shed.
Oh, well, that's
And
annoying.
There's a fella knocking. They've knocked down the shed that they have standing now. So there was a fella cutting concrete blocks.
Jesus.
And I couldn't get a wink of sleep.
Well, I had a lovely, well-rested sleep. I then just had to try and fish out some clothes that I was going to wear. Yeah. I was actually going to wear just a tank top, but then you said, no, here, dress up, man. It's a virtual event. We're going to be on a Zoom call at one stage. So I had a nice two-hour nap, made myself a little bit of pasta, had a shower, did a bit of physio, and then I was bonding with the new roommate because he said, do you mind if I join tonight? I went, absolutely not, brother. Yeah. So we had ordered a big 4-star. I was generous with my voucher. I ordered enough so the new roommate could have some.
Very nice.
A lot of pizzas, chicken dippers, vibes were good. Then you walk in.
I walk in. First of all, I walk in, I can smell candles and flowers.
Oh, yeah.
I can smell, it's a lovely smell.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Yeah. Well, thank you for asking. Yeah. Thank you for setting it up because I had completely forgotten.
Yeah, but it adds to the environment.
My new roommate brings class to the place.
Yeah.
Myself and Sean, dirty, ugly pigs.
Yeah.
Pigs in shite and we're not happy. He brings so much va-va-voom.
Oh.
He's a very sensual person. He started lighting up candles in the evening. Midweek he came in, bouquet of flowers.
Why not?
In a massive vase. Why maybe not? You call it vase. I don't know. I'm not familiar saying the words because I don't do it.
Of course.
They were lilies. The flower of death.
Lily of the valley.
Death.
Really?
But they're so
nice. What?
I think so, yeah.
I would rather.
If I'm going to die, I want a smell of a lily.
Yeah, I was. That's a lovely flower
lovely
to die
smell.
By.
Smell.
I'd hate to die in a bush of roses. Where
Jesus.
Thorns are ripping, literally ripping myself.
Legs.
What did
back.
Jesus have on his head? The crown.
Crown.
A crown of thorns is what he had.
I didn't see any roses or anything. It
was,
just seemed like barbed wire, if I'm honest.
What was on Jesus' head? The poor fella, he had a tough old death.
I did not watch Passion of the Christ. I've seen a few scenes and it's just very heavy. A
Jesus
lot of
crown.
Blood.
Yeah.
Makes me sad.
Where is the crown of Jesus?
After his death and the rise of Christianity religion, the relic was said to still be in existence, kept in worship by him.
There, is that on Wikipedia?
According to, it was just thorns, I presume. Where is the crown of thorns today? Yes, the crown of thorns. So, yeah, that'll be a death. It's like if I was to be bet to death with a flower, I'd rather be a lily than
a cactus.
Oh
my God. Imagine being thrown about the place with a cactus.
Shove it up your arse. And
holy,
you're like,
they haven't even taken you out for dinner.
No! Take it out! Actually, no, don't take it out! Jesus, just leave it in there now.
Oh.
Jeez, it's like when you said to get stabbed.
Yeah.
Is it a stingray? Is a stingray...
That's what Steve Irwin died from.
I don't know if it's stingray, but there's some animal, okay? And it's got a corkscrew in terms of... I think this is a stingray. Corkscrew, we'll say it's the tail, all right? And when it goes into you, you're supposed to not pull it out, because if you pull it out, it would rip... Say it was in your heart, it would rip your heart because it's a corkscrew.
Oh.
You'd have to twist it out to make sure it doesn't rupture anything.
Oh my God.
Now, I might be absolutely making a ball.
I hate the idea that when Steve Irwin passed away from the stingray, people started to kill stingrays. Yeah. Something that Steve Irwin would have hated. Yeah, he was so true, all about keeping species safe and looking after animals.
It's not the stingray anyway, but there's some animal.
Hey, we're digressing. The candle was lovely.
There's some
the
animal
flowers
with a
were there.
Corkscrew that goes into you.
My roommate also buys a lot of expensive glasses and he measures drinks. So he looked great. So you got to meet him.
But I came in, I saw him, he was right in my eye line.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a blur for me because I was in so much pain at the time.
Yeah.
Can you describe what it was like from your point of view, seeing me storm in?
Very intense. Yeah. Quite worrying.
I think I went with a bit of a, woo!
Yeah, you were like, hey, how you going? Come home! And then you kind of said hi and stuff, and then you left the room and just went and took a massive shit. So my roommate was like, wow, he's full of energy. And I was like, yeah, that's Graham. And then you came out and you settled yourself a bit. Well, you were still having problems with the food arriving and you're setting up the laptop.
I had forgotten that I ordered food. So I got this phone call off this strange number. And I was trying to set up the Wi-Fi on the laptop to get Callum on the Zoom, and it was nearly time for it to kick off. And I started getting this weird number. And I go, hello? And they're like, hey, is this Graham O'Toole? And I was like, yeah. And I was like, and they were talking, and I go, sorry, who is this? And they were really muffled. And I go, hello, who is this?
Yeah.
And because I've got pranked in the past. And they're like, hey, is this Graham O'Toole?
But you got pranked at like 2 in the morning
or
something.
It was 4 in the morning. I was getting pranked in here.
Scary.
And they were like, hey, oh, Graham. And I was like, sorry, who is this?
Sounds drunk.
And then I just hung up. And then a split second later, I realised, oh shit, that's the delivery
driver.
Oh,
God. Oh, fuck. Yeah, you went downstairs.
So then I ran out to the balcony to see some guy in a moped going up and down. I was like, oh, crap. And then I went downstairs and I got my my chicken and my chips and I came back up and I started eating it. But the thing is, we couldn't then just sit down and relax and enjoy it, because me and you had to be on a Zoom call or we had to be on video link for the breakfast radio category.
Yeah, and it was like the third or fourth category, and there was other presenters there, Sir Ian Dempsey.
It was all the Irish radio presenters,
yeah.
Breakfast presenters that had been nominated. So you had Casey and Ross from Cork, you had Ian, of course, from Today FM, you had Owen and Dearn from 2FM, and you had
Jim and Nobby
from 104, and then you had us.
Yeah.
That was it?
That was it, I think.
Oh God, are we missing anybody?
No. That seems enough to me.
Yeah.
And we're sat on the couch. You've had the food. I do want to say a side note. After my takeaway, I ate too much. And then I was trying to slurp on beers. And I'm sure you listening, you can relate. Food and drinking, it just doesn't work. You want to get drunk, but then you've eaten loads and you feel bloated and sluggish.
Oh, well, look, didn't really stop you from getting drunk.
Thank God I ate something. But we'll get it as to why I couldn't see at one stage in the night. But I know what you're saying. Yes, we were on the laptop, we were on the video.
But you can see yourself. You can see everybody else,
yeah.
But you can't see yourself. So we're there not knowing if our camera's working or not. If the microphone is on, we're sitting dead still in case the camera, in case the screen and the link that everybody's watching goes to you unexpected, or your microphone is left on, we're just sitting there in silence, not saying anything.
And Sean's a little bit pissed off because he wants to hear Dermot Whelan, who hosted the event. He wants to hear his monologue. And so we're on the laptop in front of us. We had to mute the TV screen where you could watch Dermot Whelan to the event.
I want to watch. I'm going in my room. I want to see the monologue.
Yeah,
I'm like, pal,
calm down.
Pal, you're sitting beside big shots here. We got 6 nominations. You're kind of riding on our coattail with the whole podcast one. Relax your cats.
Relax.
There, pal. All right, relax.
He did go to his room.
Very rude.
I think the breakfast round was maybe the third round.
No, it wasn't. It was the 7th.
Jesus. Well, we were there for a long time and we had the party hats on, and looking back, maybe wasn't the best.
Good mistake, bad mistake.
I don't know. We kind of looked like knobs. No one else was wearing that. And
I was eating my KFC while on the camera. I would say people were like, oh, this. But Ross from Cork then also tried to do a gag where he was on his hotel bed.
Oh, I liked that. Very suggestive.
So, us wearing the hats. If someone's like, oh, what are they doing wearing
the
hats?
We needed to have something.
I liked Ross doing the bed thing.
We didn't win, guys. We got silver.
We got silver, unfortunately. Congratulations to 2FM who got gold, who took the award we won last year. But we'll be back.
Yeah. It was very awkward being on screen when they've won and you have to applaud. And you're just like, oh. And then they take you off. And they like rip you away. And you're forgotten and you're lashed
to the side. But then you don't know if your microphone is still on.
No, and you're a bit like, ah, for fuck's sake, I wanted to win. That's a bit shit.
So got off, didn't win that.
Didn't win. But thankfully, laptop away. So we can properly relax.
Then you're like, let's get the beers.
I then think you went to the microwave and heated up little chicken balls.
The popcorn chicken,
man. You said, do you want some? You're very generous passing it around. Yeah. You had relaxed at this stage.
I didn't want to be on the camera anymore.
Did not.
We were cheersing at one stage, just trying to have a bit of fun.
Yeah.
Serene was the only one who actually cheers us back.
Ah.
He was, because he went, no, he came back and sat down. We go, let's cheers and see does anybody recognize.
Yeah, Serene's a good man.
So the camera went, thankfully. So then we could kind of relax. 5 to go. 1 down, 5 to go. Didn't win. All right. What was the next one? It was the next one. Got to get it wrong.
Jesus.
Big one. On air competition.
Yeah, I was very confident with this.
Didn't even place in the top 3.
Didn't place. It got bronze last year. Got nothing. And it's quite worrying how the awards work, because you're sat there and they reveal bronze and then they reveal silver.
Yeah.
And initially you're upset because you're saying, oh, those aren't my names. But you know, in order to get glory, to get gold, your names can't be called out.
Because there's 5 usually nominated. So 2 won't get called out. So when you've got like bronze, silver and then gold, there's 3 people who could potentially win. Only one of them's going to win and 2 of them aren't going to place.
Now, I forwarded the link, because how we actually logged on was they'd emailed a link and I forwarded on to my mum and my girlfriend, and at the same time they clicked in and they saw us lose.
Oh.
I was just mortifying. I brought great shame to my family.
On-air competition next. Didn't even place. 2 awards, no goals.
I start moving on to the stronger liquor.
Yeah.
Because I'm just thinking, if I'm going down, I'm going down in style. Because I'm on the high note.
Yeah.
The high note.
So then, no, you didn't really go to hard liquor. You went to a Leffe Belgian beer.
Very strong. It's 6.5%.
You can't say it's hard liquor.
Jesus
Hard
Christ.
Liquor is whiskey, which is about 40%.
Oh, it was blowing my head off. I was in a bad way.
Do you like the taste of it?
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It kind of tasted like medicine. But I was showing
what
off with
of
the
medicine?
New roommate.
What type of
beer.
Okay.
If beer was a medicine.
Yeah, well, Guinness is good for you, of course.
Yeah, well, that left is not good for you. What other award will we go through?
Podcast was next.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't win that.
Yeah.
We were 3 for 3, not getting anything.
Shocking.
Oh, and then our luck started to turn. Then it was
musical.
Music event. Where we won for Bring It Home.
Stolen City.
Stolen City. We wrote a Rugby World Cup song with the help of the Fully Charged Listener. We got Stolen City in. They let us use their instrumental. And we won it for that.
That was great. That was brilliant.
Then it was New Story of the Year.
Yeah.
Big shout out to Andrew Louth and Josh Crosby who put it together. They got all the news clippings and the interview of Matt Damon and your package on Matt Damon. We won gold in that. And then radio moment of the year.
It's a big one. It was the big one.
The big one. Usually the awards are gold. This one is black.
Black award.
The black award. Now, you only get two black awards for station of the year and radio moment of the year.
Sounds like death. The black award.
The black award. Maybe it's the death of our radio career.
Maybe. Maybe we can't elevate ourselves after that. At that point when we won radio moment, my sight was deteriorating. The room was spinning. The new roommate started to lash out. Guinnesses. He had a few cans of Guinness in the fridge.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
see, he kept pouring me. He turned into a lovely bartender.
Yeah.
He would creep up behind you and say, "Your glass is empty. Do you want some more?" And you just think,
yeah,
okay, wherever you're getting this, keep it coming. Had two Guinnesses from a can. Normally, it would not taste nice. Mother's milk.
Guinness from a can is supposed to be very nice.
Well, yeah, it was tasty
so
to me.
You've had Heineken, Leffe and Guinness, so you're properly mixing it this
I'm
stage.
Feeling it. And then he said, "Gin and tonics, who wants it?"
No, no. You're fast forwarding a long time.
What else did
the
I
The gins didn't come out till about 1:30.
Christ.
In the morning. We're only about 9:30 here. So you, somehow you, I don't know what you did for the next 4 hours, but you got absolutely balubas.
Now I'm saying maybe the roommate didn't spike me, but maybe
well,
he
we
did.
Did. Yeah, well, we can't say he did or he didn't.
Yeah, we don't have any proof.
We've got no
that.
Proof, but we got no proof he didn't.
Yeah, I felt different to everyone else.
There's as much proof that he didn't spike you as that he did spike you.
Yes.
And we'll stand by that.
How come I was so different to everyone else? You were chatting to everyone, but yeah. me, I couldn't talk.
There was a stage, so how the room was sat, Sean and Nathan were on a couch. I was on a seat sitting across from them. And to my right, Nathan and Sean's left, was your roommate.
Mm.
And we were having good conversation. And I say we, me, Sean and your roommate were.
I was observing.
Nathan was sitting there, and I don't know what happens. It's like his eyes shrink and his eye sockets expand, where his eyes just go in the back of his
and
head.
And my eyes always get so red.
And you're so red, and you're trying to... When you're drunk, I've seen it happen before, you think your eyes are getting drowsy, so you try and open them wider.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, he's gone. And then you hadn't said anything for about 1/2 hour at one stage. And I go, "Nathan, just go to bed there. You don't need to stay up." And he goes, "No, I'm enjoying the conversation." And I go, "Mate, you're not even... flipping talking here.
Now,
you haven't spoken in 1/2 hour.
I'm a good listener.
No, I'm enjoying the conversation.
It's good to listen in conversations. If you don't have anything to say, observe and listen, because that's why you have two ears and one mouth.
And then your roommate goes, and it's about 1:30, he goes, "Gee, I'm going to make a gin and tonic." And I go, "Well, is there enough there for another one?" So me and Sean are like, "Yeah, we'll have a gin and tonic." And even though the night has been, it's been going long, me and Sean are actually very much with it, and so is your roommate. For some reason, you're like, I'll have one." And I was like, "Oh Jesus, that's the last thing he needs."
Why are my eyes so red? It's as if I get pink eye during the night. It's as if someone just rubs shit in my eyes. I just get such sore eyes. It's always, that's when you know I'm drunk. "Oh, Nathan looks terrible."
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I need
yeah.
to wear sunglasses.
Yeah, you, I would.
It's
work.
Just and it's uncomfortable for me. I can only imagine people
it's
around
very
me.
Very uncomfortable.
No,
for
I know
me.
It's uncomfortable, yeah. And it is uncomfortable for me. Also, I was really hurting my knee.
Oh,
I still have the knee injury, and I was properly walking around. Let me drink. You don't have
great
any
painkiller.
Pain.
Great painkiller.
Great painkiller.
You're always, oh, Panadol, Paracetamol.
Oh my God,
now
drink.
Get a few Leffe into
get
you.
Get that into you. And
absolutely.
At one stage, I remember just having a bag of frozen corn kernels and peas on my knee, and I was dropping them all over the place.
Yeah, the sweet corn was coming out, and your roommate kept on picking it up.
He wasn't happy.
He wasn't happy.
I think he started.
But that's a good thing, because
we've gone comfortable.
Like, no, but there's a good thing he wasn't happy that you were dropping frozen vegetable all over the ground.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't like him dropping frozen vegetable over the ground.
Yeah, that is true. He was saying, "This is going to smell." And I'm thinking, "Mate, I'm too far gone. Help me."
So we're there and we're having good conversation over a few gin and tonics. And finally Nathan gets up, because frankly, you were wrecking my buzz staring at you.
My buzz. Try living that buzz. I couldn't escape. Do you not think I wanted to leave my body?
What was going through your head? Can you remember? You're sitting there, and I know I get really, if I'm not talking or I can't or I'm unable to talk, I get really paranoid. Were you paranoid?
I couldn't feel anything. The room was spinning, and it's like I couldn't hear. And when I went to bed, I just completely collapsed. I don't even think I brushed my teeth, and that's big for me.
Yeah.
Like brushing the teeth before a night or after a night out. Felt dreadful the next day. Like, holy Christ, I never go to paracetamol. I wouldn't be that person. Yeah. Oh, I have a hangover. I just ride it out. I drink water. No, I sleep.
All. I had six paracetamol in the space of being in your house.
Like, that is a lot, man. Like, that is...
But I spaced them out, as in, I had...
Did you? Like, you left at around one or something.
This is what I do, and I don't encourage this. But I had two when I got over, because I had, along with the stomach pains, I had a headache. So I had two at seven. I had two before bed, which was three. So that's good space. And then I had two when I woke up, that was about 11.
Jesus.
That's not bad.
That's a lot.
That's not...
Well, I had
when you
four.
Say six, I'm not bloody taking... Painkillers. Yeah. Six before
Sounds
I go to bed.
It's like a rock and roll party.
No,
this.
No.
It was a lovely evening.
So you took Panadol or didn't?
I took four.
In one go?
No. Please just make the pain go away.
I got up at seven and I went to go for the toilet and I was like, this is going to be a bad day. So I was like, I'm just going to just stick my head in the loo.
Oh, did
and
you?
And just go for it. And I was like, I know everyone's going to hear me, but I don't really care.
Yeah.
I went kind of, you know, you went kind of, you're down, and you're going to go, and you're going to, and you're, okay, I can feel it. And then nothing came.
Nothing came.
And I said, I'll leave it. It's I went back, and I went back to sleep then for about three or four hours. Woke up, felt fine.
Did you?
You saw me. I was buzzing.
Yeah, you and Sean were actually fine again.
It was so strange because I hadn't drank in so long.
Mm.
I'd already Saturday, it was like, oh God, I'm going to be hungover now. And I wasn't at all. It was great. Maybe because I ate KFC.
Yeah, maybe it goes full circle.
But then when I think about it, say all those drinks, you started at 7, finished at 3. That's 8 hours.
Mm.
So actually, you think about the amount of drink, but you actually spread it out. Now, obviously, you don't drink, blah, blah, blah. But...
Oh, drink responsibly.
Drink responsibly.
Oh, please.
Please, for the love of God, drink responsibly.
Don't do what I did.
But, yeah, it was good. What did your roommate make of me?
Yeah,
obviously, there has been a bit of conversation afterwards.
Yeah, he said, very nice man. He said, beginning, very intense.
Yeah.
Probably too intense.
Got it, yeah. Understand. Taken, yeah.
But he said, lovely guy, couldn't really understand what you were saying at times. He said you talk very quickly. So he would respond with yeses or noes at times and was like, I actually think I was answering the wrong.
I understand what he's saying and I know and I felt I was in that mood where if I'm with someone new and they're telling me something about themselves, I really have to listen because I'm like, just listen here now. So I have to concentrate. And I know I give them the eyes where I'm like really concentrating to show them I'm interested.
Yeah.
So I was asking a lot about his job because I'm really interested in his job.
Yeah.
So I think that, I'd say I was talking about an hour at one stage.
You're getting on great.
Oh no, he's a lovely guy.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
But I understand that if I was doing that, I was very intense.
Mm.
So I would have been speaking very quickly.
Look, what's wrong? I probably speak too slowly, man. Will we go and grab this?
Yeah, go on.
This could be awkward.
Okay,
now, maybe
I'll explain.
Give a warning, yeah.
Okay, so on Saturday, obviously, with the Radio Awards, and our friend is about to come in, I wanted to give him a call and discuss it because we didn't get to spend the Radio Awards with him. His name is Nick Kay. And when I went to call him, he said he couldn't answer because he was so shook. Something was after happening to him, which made him, he was shaking, he was really upset, and he didn't want to speak to me at that time. He then rang me 2 hours later to explain the story, and oh my God, I couldn't think of something worse. Well, I could think of a few things worse, but it's a really bad thing to happen. So here he is. I'm going to thanks for joining us, Nick.
Thank you very much.
I don't think he wants to be here, but
no, he doesn't, but I think he owes it to you.
Yeah,
you know, the listener knows a lot about Snork. He used to do the introduction. So do you want headphones?
Oh, that's another lifetime ago. No, thanks.
Okay. What did he used to do?
Or introduction?
Oh yeah.
Do you remember that?
Jeez, yeah, I used to make in the day when you liked us.
And do you remember I used to make a fresh one every week?
Yeah.
It was great.
When did I have the time?
I loved
to do
it.
That?
It was like car chases and stuff.
Oh. Okay. Boys.
Okay. Do you want to say something before you tell this story?
I have anxiety about this.
Man, it is one of the worst stories I've ever heard, but it's so well told and...
I'm not here to tell a good story. Something tragic happened to
him. No, it's tragic. But like, you've come in and told a tragic story about your wife, Caroline, giving birth.
Yeah, every time I tell you a tragic story, you get me on the podcast.
But I think the community of the Little Big Podcasters They want to hear these stories. They want to hear what's going on in our lives. You're an extension, like Sean, you're an extension of the podcast.
Yeah.
And if it happened to one of us, we'd say it.
Yeah, I have a responsibility to tell the story.
You do.
Yeah, but I just want everyone to know ahead of the story how sick I feel about this.
Of course. And okay. I've set this up. I said I tried to call you.
I saw you padding while I was taking
you
ages.
You felt sick. It wasn't padding, my friend. That was introducing.
Sorry. I couldn't hear you. Sorry.
I said he didn't want to talk to me because he was so shook. And
yeah,
understandable.
Graham, right?
Yeah. Understandable.
No, it's a horrible story. And look, you do visibly seem shook.
Yeah.
Your skin seems grey. And you went over to the printer and I don't even think you got a sheet. I just think you needed
time. I printed something as Nathan came out to grab me. And I was like, man, I have to run to the printer. And he literally stood there and watched me like I think he thought I wasn't coming back.
I thought you said a prayer or something at the printer. You started doing
that's the altar.
All right, well, okay. We know you're a busy man, Nick.
Platform, over to you. I'm not going to even interrupt.
So I'm driving home from my one other household was it last Saturday? Yeah. Baby asleep in the back seat, wife texting away frantically in the passenger seat, and there was traffic, roadworks, on the normal route that I would travel. So I said I'd take this back housing estate, like it's going to take me 5 minutes longer, but look, I'm not in a hurry, it's a Saturday afternoon, I'll dodge the roadworks. And so I'm driving housing estate, and now there is a main road that runs through this housing estate, but there are like side streets, if you get me. And so I'm driving along and I spot up ahead on the left hand side, on the side of the road, I spot this dog. Immediately, everyone already is. Graham did it, Nathan did it, everyone's doing the same thing already. I spot this dog up ahead on the left hand side on the footpath. And, like, I'm obviously, as you're driving, you're making these calculations constantly. You're like, okay, I need to slow down a little bit here. Hopefully, the dog doesn't run out. What's up? What am I going to do? I'll probably swerve left. Yep, we'll be all good. As I'm approaching this dog, it's facing with its back to the road. And I'm like, okay, I'm pretty sure I'm safe. The dog's got the back to the road and it's sniffing something on the ground. Literally, and I'm not speeding. Like, I'm like going, so I'm doing under the speed. I was doing like 40 and a 60, right? So literally as I passed this dog, I reckon I was two meters away from it. The dog twists and bolts. Like, I'm talking fucking pelts into the road. Now me, I slammed the brakes on so hard. Slammed the brakes on. Noah, my son, sleeping in the back seat. He flies forward, wakes up. Caroline almost smashes her head off the dashboard, right? Like, that's how hard I slammed these brakes on, right? Boys, it was too late.
Oh, shit.
Boom, 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 boom. Yep. That's the dog under the wheel, boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, horrendous,
so
right?
So what happened?
So, okay, so I pull up. Like, obviously, there's a moment in my brain where I'm like, geez, very easily just drive on here. It's not the type of guy I am. I pulled up, and I ran across to this dog. I told Caroline the baby to stay in the car. Ran over to this dog. At this stage, someone else had seen it happen. They were coming out of one of the side streets, and they had stopped, and they were already at the dog when I got there. And I was like, I was kind of in shock. I was like, holy shit. Like, I was like, what do I do? Do you know the dog? Is it your dog? I was asking, there was this couple, young couple, like a guy and a girl. And the guy was like leaning down. I was like, no, it's not our dog. We're the neighbors. So they were the neighbors of the dog, yeah. The owner of the dog. And I was like, what do I do? And at this point, like, not to get too gruesome, but the dog was dying.
Yeah,
it
wasn't
dead yet.
Oh, that's even worse.
No, but and it was such a horrific experience. And like, look, it was over in like the space of 10 seconds. It was dead.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, man, the guy actually looked at me because I was still shook. He looked at me and he was like, man, I saw you slam the brakes on. There was nothing you could have done. And he was like, not only was there nothing you could have done, but the dog shouldn't have been out of the house. Like, why is the dog running around on a main road? And I was like, man, thanks for saying those nice things, but like, it actually doesn't make me feel any bad. I feel so bad, right? At this point, right, the owner of the dog, an elderly lady, comes around the corner.
They're always old, aren't they?
And she didn't know at this point that the dog was dead. And she's walking across the road, like, in her, like, house coat. And she's saying to me and this guy, the neighbor, oh, Jesus, is he in a bad way? Is he, what happened? And we're like, no, he's dead. He's not here. He's gone. Well, let me tell you, it was like a scene from a movie. She starts howling in the street, and I was like, what do I do? At one point, she goes, who hit him? And the neighbors like kind of look up at me, and I was just like, look, I hit him. I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't know what to say. I was like, I did. Listen, I slammed the brakes on. He ran into the road. I don't know what. And the neighbor piped up and was like, yeah, yeah, we saw it. He slammed the brakes on. There's nothing he could have. And I was like, I feel like we're justifying here. And like, I realize I don't need to justify it. The dog was out on a main road and I did slam the brakes on. But at the same time, it was like, it still didn't make me feel any better.
Yeah.
And I couldn't console the woman. And there's nothing I could do. And then they were like, shit, the lady says to the neighbors, will you pick him up and bring him into the house? And she was like, yeah, I picked him up. And at that point, I just legged it to my car, drove off. And I couldn't go home. I was just like driving around.
At what point did you get the FaceTime off me?
So I get home, right? I finally
just
get
home.
Yeah, just in the door.
Not going to lie, when I was FaceTiming you, I was just out of the shower and I was basically naked.
Now that,
I thought it would have been funny to FaceTime
you probably would have put me in a better mood, if I'm honest.
Was he in a stinker of a mood?
He didn't answer.
Did you not?
No, I saw the call come in and I was like, fuck off, O'Toole. What do you want? Jesus,
I don't
want
to see your tool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was there sitting on the edge of the bed with my hair all wet, kind of going, with this weird face ready for you to answer.
So sexy. Anyway, look, a couple of hours later, I obviously rung him back, and I told him, and I
felt sick.
Oh, it's a terrible story.
Thank you for telling it, and I think the...
I was very against...
How
Nathan
do you feel?
Pressured me into telling the story.
Well, because I think it's a relatable
story. Well, I will give some my story. I remember when we were on a holiday, when we used to go on holidays to England, and we were driving from Lewisburg to Dublin, which is a 3.5 hour journey. It was probably over 4 hours because the roads weren't as good. And 5 minutes into the journey on our holidays, all the O'Toole family really happy. Dad bloody hits a dog on the way, 5 minutes outside of Lewisburg. We're in the middle of nowhere, so we don't know whose dog it is. So it's not if someone's coming out. It's really early in the morning. So we just have to...
You didn't have to face the owner wailing in the street.
Yeah, but then my mother wouldn't speak to my dad for like a week of the holiday because he killed a dog.
Like he did it on purpose.
Yeah.
Cop onto yourself, mummy.
Come on, you're better than that.
So I'm just there like in the back of the car going, this is going to be a shit holiday now.
Was it shit?
I don't know.
Yeah, it was most memorable.
Not rememberable. just the dead dog.
Want to say fair play to you, Nick, though, for not driving on.
Hit and run.
Because my cat had a hit and run. I had a cat called Cassius, and a car crashed into, knocked my cat over, and then drove off, and the cat...
Did you see it happen?
Apparently someone did see it happen, and the cat, Cassius, crawled back to my front garden.
Oh, no.
That's horrendous.
How sad is that?
You had to look at it.
Yeah.
Oh, stop.
So sad.
That is horrendous.
Nick, how do you feel now telling the story?
Is it better off your chest?
No. I. In fact, you've made me relive such a traumatic experience, and I'm really praying.
You're really anxious now.
Nick, if there's ever been a time that I'm grateful you don't have many listeners, it's now.
Oh, shame on you.
Imagine the owner of the podcast, the owner of the dog was listening to this, and they were like,
you're saying your side of the story.
We got you. We know where you work. We're coming for you.
No.
You know what I said to Caroline? I was like, will I buy him a new dog and drop it up? Honestly, that's the head state I was in.
Did you drop flowers?
Nah.
Why not?
I don't know which house it was. It was the main road where it happened. It was like, and they were like off a side street.
And are you thinking about it anymore? Do you have dreams?
No, I'm not. I'm not.
You probably were doing good until right now.
Yeah, I really was.
No, you seem agitated. Oh, like
real.
You are touching your fingers, but they're quite close to your genitals. So it's uneasy.
No, I'm okay. I'm all right.
Look, Nick, I want to thank you.
We
know you didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
And we needed an extra 10 minutes at the end of the podcast.
We needed that.
Did I flesh it out enough?
Yeah, yeah,
I think you
perfect.
Did. Good. Thank you
Nick,
so much.
Anything you want to say to the I keep saying fully charged, the Little Big Podcast listener. They're down. We didn't win the award. They obviously were really excited that we were going to win gold. What do you want to say to them?
Bring back Snork's intros. Actually, no, too much work.
Too much work.
Okay. I tell you what. Tell a friend. Let's tell a friend about the podcast. Let's build up.
But hopefully the friend isn't the owner of that dog.
Yes, and we will delete this episode.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Thank you, Nick, and thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Cut my life into pieces. This is my last reason.